This morning we heard a message to the children about rules, about why we have rules, and about instructions and what they mean to us and how those instructions are helpful. And in some of our passages that we've heard so far this morning, we heard in Psalm 16 about how the Lord provides counsel to us and provides direction. We heard a hymn offered by the choir, Precious Name, about having the precious name of Jesus Christ on our heart. And somehow we sense that if we have that name on our hearts, then we have those clear directions. So really, kind of a theme that we have today is about having directions and guidance and also obedience. Now, most of you have heard that I somehow made a mistake and kind of got volunteered to be in a fashion show Monday and Tuesday. Much to my better judgment, I volunteered to do it because it was for a good cause. It was for hospice. But when I got the word, it was like, I've got to walk down and back, two different outfits. I can handle that. They didn't say anything about dancing. And I found out a couple of days later that I had to dance as part of this. Well, you've heard how I sing. I dance far worse than I sing. And so I started thinking, you know what? I've got to get out of this. There's no way that I can do this. I've got to get out of this. But then a message kept coming back on my heart. Well, you've got to be obedient. You've made a promise. You've made a promise. You've got to be obedient. And it's for a good cause. But when I think about that word obedience, what comes to my heart is sometimes we have to do things that we don't feel comfortable doing if we're going to be obedient. Sometimes we have to do things that we're not comfortable doing if we're going to be obedient. And when I think about that, then where is it that we get to the point of knowing what it is that we're supposed to do? How is it that we're convicted to that point of being obedient to the point that sometimes is uncomfortable? And that answer is in the Word of God. The Word of God provides us that counsel. It provides us that precept. It provides us that direction about knowing what we're supposed to do and knowing what's right and wrong. And this morning, what we're going to talk about is I've called it chewing on the Word of God, chewing on the Word. Having that Word of God in our heart so strongly that it helps to influence the decisions that we make. It helps to influence how we go about our life. So what I invite you to do now is to hear words from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. And then we'll also hear words from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we hear that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. I think we each have a desire to be obedient. deep down. Although at times I believe we can find it challenging to be obedient because of the way that we're pulled in different directions in our life, the temptations that we face. But really, deep down, I think that we want to be obedient. And contrary to popular belief, I believe that deep down, children really want to be obedient to their parents. And Christians really want to be obedient to our mighty God. But sometimes we just simply find it hard. Because that difficulty comes when we comes when we lose our focus on the rules that we have and the guidelines that have been laid before us. If we don't know what those rules are, it's hard for us to follow them. If we're not reminded of what those rules and expectations are, it's hard for us to be compliant. So what we have to do is to keep that focus on what direction, what rule, what guideline, what commandment, what commissions there are before us that will help to guide our steps in a proper way. But unfortunately, we're tempted to stray that path quite frequently. Perhaps a ball game has a greater lure than devotional time. Hey, the Panthers are playing tonight, and I'm just going to skip my devotional time tonight so I can watch them play. Or maybe it's a video game that delays our children from doing what their parents ask them to do because they've just got to make this next level. And Mom, just let me get this next level, and then I'll do what you're asking me to do. But then that level becomes another level and another level. But in both cases, what's happened is something has taken our attention away from the most important thing. The most important thing being obedient to your parents, being obedient to God, spending time with God, being in devotion, prayer, building your spiritual base. But today, the words that we hear from the Psalm and from 2 Timothy, these words remind us to spend time with the Word of God. To spend time with the Word of God, because the Word of God is God's gift to us, is God's gift to us as the truth. And we have to spend time there if we're going to hold those words in our heart. And I hear Psalm 119, and I can feel the passion of this writer saying, your words are the truth. Your words are what I hold in my heart. And when I read Psalm 119, what comes to my mind is, hey, this person really had it together, and we need to chew on the Word of God like they did. We need to chew on that Word, that we have that Word in our heart. We spend time with it so that that Word becomes our thoughts, our actions, and that Word is on our lips. The psalmist says, oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day long. Oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day long. And I want to ask you this without you raising your hands, because I'd have to be one of the first ones to raise my hands and say that I'm not obedient. How often is it that we will take a piece of Scripture and meditate on it, think about it, pray about it, and try to come to terms with what that Scripture means for a whole day? How often will we read something in the morning and have that in our thoughts all day long and say, Lord, what are you saying to me through these words? Where are you calling me to change? Where are you calling me to go? What are you calling me to do? What are you trying to say to me through that word? Or are we like most? Well, I didn't understand that one much, so there's plenty of other scriptures. Let's go to another one, because I didn't understand that one. The truth that is in the Word of God will be revealed in the right time, but sometimes it takes some study, and it takes some prayer, it takes meditation to come to that point, because the Word of God points us to the truth that we know in Jesus Christ. But the Word of God is not to be taken haphazardly and not to be taken conveniently. It's not something that if we don't understand, we simply skip over it and go to the next one and forget that that one even existed. Now, it might be that we understand it better at a different time, but if we're called to something that we don't quite grasp, then that's the time to ask questions. That's the time to pray and meditate over it and say, what is it that I'm supposed to take away from this piece of Scripture? Because we know the truth is found in our hands in this Bible, the truth in Jesus Christ, and we are to live out the Word of God and essentially let the Word of God be the mantra in our hearts that drives us each day. Kind of like the psalmist said. The psalmist said, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day long. The words of the Scripture. Well, they guide our thoughts. They guide our actions. They guide our responses. How we forgive, how we love, how we think, how we pray, how we serve. How we do good. How we avoid doing harm. How we keep the commandments in our hearts and how we're obedient. The Scriptures help us become more spiritually mature. They help us to grow as Christians. They help us to live a life that God calls us to live. They help us to gain understanding. The psalmist in 119 said, your commandments make me wise. I understand because I keep your precepts or your instructions. Your commandments make me wise, and I understand because I am obedient. And I think we'll all agree that we do become more knowledgeable as we grasp the Word of God in our hearts. There's no longer a need to wonder or fall from obedience when we acknowledge that the wisdom is here, the instruction is here. We simply must spend some time with it. We acknowledge the Word of God as something important in our lives. We all agree that that's the truth. We acknowledge it as Christians to the point that we want to taste it, we want to live it, we want to feel it. But we have to be intentional in our obedience and in our spiritual discipline, or else we're going to be swayed just like the rest of the world into believing the untruths. And I think you all agree with me. There's something pretty powerful about just holding a Bible in our hands. Just having a Bible in our hands, just like this, there's something pretty powerful about it. When you're having a bad day, when things aren't going well, you may have no clue what you're going to read, but there's something just pretty powerful about picking your Bible up and holding your Bible, because we know that somewhere in here are all the answers that we need. Somewhere in here are the truths that we need revealed to us. And in every place we know that Scripture is inspired by God. And the Scripture is our lifeline, it's our direction, it's our instruction, and it's our hope. And we know that the Word of God equips us for His work and prepares us for the glory that we each desire to receive. And that's all right here. So then what I would ask, how is it that we read this sacred word? How is it that we meditate on it? That we keep it on our hearts, on our lips, all day long? And then we get to the point that we love the law. How do we get to that point? Well, the power in the Bible, in holding the Bible, intensifies when we open it. And when we open the Bible and we begin reading it, knowing that every word that we read was inspired by God, or every passage, let me rephrase that, every passage was inspired by God. Although it was written by man, but it was inspired by God to be written by man, often many years later. So we know that as we read it, there's a reason that these words are in this book that we call the Bible. And as we read these words, we know there's a message there for us. Now, the caution that I would issue is that we don't need to find a message ourselves. We wait for the message to be revealed. Because I can open this Bible up, and I can find things in it that will justify everything I have ever done wrong in my life. And that's not how we use the Bible. Because we don't read the Bible word for word and take it as a single word or as a single sentence. There's a theological context to it. So when we read the Bible, one of the first things we need to understand is the historical and cultural context of the time in which the scripture was inspired to be written. So with that being said, it is not normal for us in modern society to participate in some of the practices that we find in the scriptures. So if we've got to go back to doing things that we read in the Old Testament, then that's not practical, and that's not where we are. The Bible is the living word of God that applies to all people at all times. So we have to understand that cultural and historical context. And one of the examples that I give to you as we attempt to separate out the cultural practices from the intended theological meaning is this, as we have to acknowledge that people of all times have used jargon, they've used culturally specific language regarding the way that they live. And the example that I've shared on more than one occasion is, if you say that you work 24/7, what does that mean? Today, if you hear that word, that you work 24/7, what does it mean? It means you work a lot. Does it mean you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. It's impossible for anybody to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, day in, day out, from now on out. But 24/7 means that you work a lot. So, when I read in the scripture that only 144,000 are going to be chosen to enter the kingdom of God, does that mean that only 144,000 are going to heaven? No. But that's that term. That was that number, the multiples of 12, that reflected a big number. 144,000 was a big number then. Kind of like when we say, well, that person must have $1 million. You don't know how much money they got. But when you say they must have $1 million, that means a lot of money. 144,000 meant a big number in the day that it was written. So the point that I bring out is there are some historical and language things that we must consider. And we have to attempt to separate some of that out. But as we do that, our hope is that we see that deeper theological meaning. And how do we do that? We pray over it. We read the scriptures. We study the scripture. We meditate on the scripture. We pray over it. And pray that the theological context, God's word for us, would be revealed. We generally just don't take one verse of scripture and explain a situation. But we read what's before it, we read what's after it, we read what's happening around it, and get a grasp on what God is trying to say to us. We look at the history around it, the background. We chew on the Word. So you notice I'm not saying that we just read the Bible. What I'm saying is that we chew on the Word. Because the psalmist, your Word is on my heart all day long. And it's on my heart that whole day because it's not a matter of me reading. Well, I flipped open to 2 Samuel. David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the such and such and did this. I'm just not going to read that sentence and do something with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read that passage and say, God, what is it that you're saying to me? What do you call me to change? What's the literal meaning of it? And what's the bigger meaning? What is it that you want me to hear? What's the history around this? What's happening here? Who are the main people, the main characters? Who is it that's present? Is it something that has the Apostle Paul and an encounter that he has with someone? Is there somebody doing the work of the Lord? Is somebody receiving the work of the Lord? Or perhaps if it's in the gospel, is Jesus present? We think about Jesus and the woman at the well. You had Jesus, you had the woman at the well. What was the theme there? Well, there was a theme. There's well, there's water. There's nourishment. And we see in Scripture, there's other places to where we talk about coming together around a well. So when we see those type of things, we start to say, you know what? There's something more to be said here than just the words. There's more to be said here than just the words. There's a message that God is trying to communicate to us. So when we look at those things, we look at the people involved, we look at what's being said, we look at the punishments, we look at the praise, we look at the outcomes, and we look at what people do in response to it. So today, when we talk about meditating on the Word of God, it's more than just simply reading the Bible. It's spending time chewing on the Word of God, that His intended message would be revealed to us. It's so easy to just go in and pick out a verse and read it and say, I feel better about everything now. But it's so much more effective when we spend time reading and studying and praying over the Word. And the message that will be revealed then will change your life. Knowing that what we have in our hands and what we have in our hearts are words inspired by God Himself. So today, what we give praise for, we give praise to God for His Word, which became a living Word through Jesus Christ. The Word of God is His gift to us. It equips us for life. It equips us for challenges, the good times and the bad times, and it equips us for ministry. So let us be intentional as we keep the Word of God in our heart all day long. And let us be as that psalmist as we meditate on that Word. Let this be our truth, and let this be our strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.